Let us pray together as we go to God's Word. Lord, we come before your Word, knowing that in your Word is the nourishment we need for our souls. We ask that the truth of your Word would penetrate deeply into our hearts, that we may experience fully and more deeply even this truth, that we are adopted into your family through Christ, and that through Christ we can cry out to you as our Father. Would you speak to us now in Christ's name? Amen. You know, a few months ago, I came across a story of an unlikely adoption. There was a young man, he's 15 years old, his name's Davion, and just tell you a little bit about Davion. Davion, his mother gave birth to him while she was in prison, and while he was in children's home, and while she was in prison, she passed away, and he spent the first 15 years of his life in a children's home in St. Petersburg with about a dozen other teenage boys. Now, one statistic you need to know of, and that is the North American Council on Adoptable Children said that fewer than 10% of children adopted from foster care are between 14 and 17 years of age. And so the fact that this boy was 15 years old, it was very unlikely that he would ever be adopted. And so he tells a story about, you know, growing up in this children's home and how everything that he did was supervised and watched through cameras. Even to go to the restroom, you had to get someone to unlock the restroom for you. So it was a very, you wouldn't say it was a prison, but it reminded you of that as they tried to keep strict supervision of these boys. Well, several weeks ago, Davion, 15 years old, in a brown, dark suit and a borrowed tie, made his way to a church service. And he had talked to the pastor previously, and the pastor had given him permission to say a few words at the end of the sermon. And so the service began, and Davion was present, and the pastor preached the sermon. Afterwards, he brought Davion up to share a few things from his heart. And Davion, in his borrowed tie and his dark suit, told the packed church that he was seeking a family to call his own. And he says that his requirements were simple. He says, "I'll take anyone," he said, "old or young, dad or mom, black, white, purple, I don't care. And I would be really appreciative, the best I could be." Now, since that day, thousands of people, as the story broke about this young man coming before the church and to ask for a family of his own, thousands of people have called that church seeking more information about adopting Davion. Now you may say, well, Davion went to the church because perhaps that was all he knew, was the Christian church. Or perhaps he thought to himself, if anyone knows anything about adoption, it would be the church. Because adoption is one of the most beautiful pictures of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God, through his Son, has brought us in to his family. And this idea of adoption is in many places. Paul uses it in many places in his writings. He paints a picture of adoption in many of his New Testament letters. And we're going to look at one of those paintings this morning in the book of Galatians. And one of the main reasons that Paul writes this letter to the Galatians is that there was some confusion about what it meant to be the son and daughter of God. What does it mean to be in the family of God? And so Paul was seeking to answer these questions. How do you become an heir to the promises of God? How do you become heir to those promises that God made to Abraham? How do you become a child of God? And so Paul, to answer those questions, he unpacks three things that happen to make you part of the family of God that happened in this adoption process. The first thing he talks about is a position change that occurs. And the second thing he talks about is that there is a payment that is made to make this position change legal. And then the third thing that he mentions is that there is a privilege that goes along with being a son and a daughter in God's family. So let's first look at how this position changes in the adoption process. In verse 25, Paul writes, But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so what Paul says is, okay, before your adoption, you were in a different position. You were under what Paul calls a guardian. And we looked at this last week, and that is the guardian is the law of God. And the guardian's role is to show you that you're in sin, that you are separated from God, and that you need someone to come and help you, deliver you, adopt you. In other words, rescue you out of your present situation if you're going to be put in a position in God's family. And so Paul says that you are under this guardian. And then he uses this analogy of a child being too young to inherit the estate. For example, he says, okay, there's this child, and he is going to inherit this vast estate once he comes of age. But currently, he's too young. And Paul says, actually, when you think about it, there's really no difference between this young heir and a slave. They're the same. In other words, neither one of them have access to the inheritance and the rights and the privileges that come along with that inheritance. And in order to have possession of the inheritance, you have to come of age. And so Paul uses that analogy to say, okay, all people in the world have not come of age. In other words, we are all under this guardian, and none of us have access to the inheritance that what Paul's going to talk about in just a moment is the relationship with God. We don't have the rights and privileges of what is present in the presence of God, in the relationship with God, in the family of God. And so Paul says that in order for us to have that access, then we must have a position change. We must come of age, so to speak. And the way we come of age and enter into the family of God and experience all the rights and privileges of having God as our Father, the way that happens is through a process Paul calls redemption. And the reason Paul uses this term is because it's a term that's used to buy someone out of bondage. So if you were enslaved, let's say you owed a lot of debt and you were enslaved to that debt and you had to, you know, work until you paid off that debt and you actually racked up so much debt you could never actually pay it off. Paul says someone could come in, pay your debt off, and free you from the bondage of that debt. And you would be redeemed. And so Paul says, the way that we come of age, so to speak, or the way that we have access to our inheritance in the family of God, the way you enter into the family of God is through this process of redemption. And that redemption comes through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so when God came in the person of the Son of God to die on the cross, he took on our sin, and through that payment made redemption possible, made freedom possible for us. And so in order to be placed in the family of God, to be adopted, there must be a shift in position. Now also, he says, and this is interesting, and some of you ladies may want to tune in here, because he says, if you have faith in Christ, you are sons of God, or you're a son of God. You may think, well, that's great for the men, but what about us? Well, you need to see how revolutionary this statement is that Paul is making. Because in the first century, women rarely had the right to inherit any property. And so, if the parents were to die, they would pass the property on to the oldest male heir or the nearest male heir. Okay? And so what Paul says is that actually, if you are in Christ, whether you are a male or a female, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, meaning whatever culture you're from, or whether you're a free man or a slave, wherever you are in society, in that status, it doesn't matter. If you are in Christ, then whatever Christ inherits, you inherit. And so we are all sons of God. In other words, we all have the inheritance rights, just like Christ does. Therefore, we are co-heirs with Christ. There is equality at the cross. So, male, female, Jew, Greek, slave, free, we all are adopted through the same method, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul doesn't say, well, that doesn't mean there's no differences between a male and a female or different cultures. He doesn't say that. But what he does say is that if you're going to be adopted in the family of God, it comes through faith in the Son of God. Now, he talks about this position change, but he also talks about how in order for this position to change, and I mentioned it briefly already with redemption, that there must be a payment that is made. And he talks about that in verses 29 through chapter 4, verse 5, when he says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And so our position changes when we are adopted because the payment has been made in Christ. You know, I don't know if it was through the news or a newspaper article several months ago. And many of you know people that have adopted children in the States, overseas. And it came out, it may have been a year ago now, where Russia says that, you know, Russian orphans can no longer be adopted by Americans. And so what they're saying is there are children in Russia that do not have parents. They're orphans, and they need to be adopted. And there are Americans, parents, that are American, that are willing to adopt, yet it is illegal to actually adopt these children. You cannot do it legally. And so the adoption doesn't happen. But that's very different than what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying is that you have a father who is willing to adopt, and the father has done all that's required to make the adoption possible through sending his son and paying the payment of your sin on the cross. So the payment's been made, the love and the willingness is there, and so the question is, what's the holdup in the adoption process? Well, if you've ever been a part of an adoption process, you know there's a lot of holdups. But in this case, Paul says the only holdup in the adoption process is whether or not you want to be adopted. You know, do you want to be part of the family of God? Do you want to be a son or a daughter of God? Because Paul says the payment has been made. Christ came to redeem those who are under the law, that we may become children of God. And if that's true of you, if you've placed your faith in Christ, and your position has changed from one of bondage, you've been under this guardian, to now you are in the family of God, you're a son and daughter of God, then the third thing Paul says here is that you can actually experience a privilege of being a child of God. Look with me at verses 6 and 7. He says that because you are sons, if you've placed your faith in Christ, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You know, a person relates differently to their father than they do their boss. Right? I mean, you respond differently to your father and you relate differently to your father or your mother than you do your boss at work. You know, if you have a job, or if you're retired, if you can think back when you had a job and you were working for someone, always in the back of your mind, you knew that your position was secured only by your performance. Right? I mean, the only way you could keep your position is if you performed. If you no longer performed the job well, there was always a threat of losing the position. And so what Paul's saying here is, well, if you are in Christ, you are not a hired laborer, but you are rather a son of God. Because a son responds differently to his father than he would his boss, right? The son responds to his father from a position of acceptance. I don't perform in order to be accepted by God, but rather my performance, my life, my obedience is all fueled by my acceptance by God in Christ. And so I live out my identity in Christ because I have been placed in a position of sonship because of the work of Christ. But what I see happening, and maybe you see this as well, is that some of us embrace the first two aspects of adoption, but we have a hard time embracing the third. In other words, we have our documentation to show, I have placed my faith in Christ. I am in the family of God. But some of us are not experiencing that third aspect of crying out to God, Abba, Father, and experiencing the privilege of our adoption. In other words, we are in the family of God, and yet we're still living like hired help. We still have in our mind, if I don't perform, I'm going to lose my position. And this could be for a few reasons. The first one I'll say is what I'll call the Cinderella complex. You're all familiar with Cinderella, the story of Cinderella. With two young girls. I've seen this movie several times. Maybe you have as well. But you know Cinderella. She knows she's part of this family, but she has this wicked stepmother that there's no relationship present. Even though she's part of the family, there's no relationship present. And all this mother does is pile on the tasks. Do this, do this, do this. You never measure up, you never measure up. And so Cinderella can fall into an issue of feeling a lot of guilt and shame because she never measures up. There's never love there present between her and this mother. Yet she knows she's in the family. But she never experiences the joys of what that relationship should be. And that's how many of us are at times, that we see God. We know we're in the family of God because of Christ, but yet we see God as this dictator, this taskmaster, just throwing down the to-do list. And we're always feeling guilt and shame because we never measure up. So that's one reason why we don't experience our sonship more deeply, is because we see God wrongly as this taskmaster, just throwing down the to-dos, and we never measure up. The second reason I think we may not experience our sonship more fully, and it's what I'll call the little orphan Annie complex. You all familiar with Annie, right? Like I mentioned, I have two girls, so I've seen this movie as well several times. And you know, when little orphan Annie, she's invited to the house of Mr. Warbucks for the first time. She walks in and she's just overawed at all the extravagance of this home. And after the first greeting there, her response is, okay, now what should I start on? In other words, what should I start cleaning? Because she thinks it's a privilege to be invited into this house, but she assumes that I've only been invited in to be a servant and just do different things for you, but not have a relationship with you. I've just been invited in to clean the walls or, dust the curtains. And so it took Annie a while to realize, no, Annie, you've not been invited in just to be slave labor, But you've been invited into a relationship. And I think that's perhaps another reason why we don't experience our relationship with God more fully. And that is because we know we've been accepted by God through Christ, and yet we still feel unworthy to have a relationship with God. Because we know our own hearts, we know, you know, our unfaithfulness at times, our brokenness, and so we know God accepts us in Christ, yet we still keep Him at a distance. And we still experience some of those same feelings of guilt and shame, and we never measure up, just like Cinderella, perhaps. And you know, there were those in Galatia, and there are those here in Augusta that have a hard time believing that they are part of God's family. That God has accepted you because of the work of Christ. And Paul tells us that if you are in Christ, you have been given a privileged position. And that is, you've been given access to God. And that's why he said, God gives you His Holy Spirit so that you can cry out, Abba, Father. And what I want you to see is that Christ took care of the payment, the objective, redemptive, complete work of redemption happened through Christ. And as we are adopted into the family of God, He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can experience that relationship more fully. I want you to remember back when you were a child. Just think back when you were a child and you were in your home, and maybe your parents were there with you, or someone that cared about you deeply was watching you, and something happened. Maybe you had a question. Maybe you got hurt, or maybe you needed help. You know, what would you do? Well, you cry out their name. You call out to your parents. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did you not call out to your friend who lives 2 miles down the street? Because they're not present. They're not going to hear you, right? You call out to your parents because they're present. They're in the home. They hear you. They'll be there with you. And that's what Paul tells us here. We've been given God's Spirit so that we'll know God is always with us. And so we can always cry out to Him. We can always talk with Him. We can always bring our needs and our requests and our thoughts and our questions and our thanksgivings. We can always bring them to God because He's always with us. And the second thing we see is when you're in that home and you cry out to your parents, instead of crying out to your parents, did you cry out to some random person? Let's say you called your parents, dad, mom. Did you just start randomly yelling out people's names? You know, Steve, Rebecca, I need some help. No. Why? Because you don't have a relationship with these random people. You're calling out to someone you have a relationship with that you know they love you and they care for you, and therefore you call out to them. And that's what Paul is saying here, is if you have been brought into the family of God through Christ, God has given you His Spirit so that you'll know He's always with you, and you always have access to Him. And so one question I want you to ask yourself this morning is, have you been adopted into the family of God? Have I been adopted into the family of God? Because the Bible says that to all who did receive Him, speaking of Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And so maybe you're like Davion, who came into the church service looking to be adopted by a family. You know, maybe you've come into a church service, you know, looking to be adopted by God. And if you've never placed your faith in Christ, I encourage you to do that today. God has done all that is required for you to become part of His family. The payment's been made. The love is there in His heart to draw you into a relationship with Himself. All that's left to ask is, do you want to be adopted? Do you want to come into the family of God? Or maybe this morning you're in Christ, you're in the family of God, but you have that Cinderella complex or that Annie complex, and you're not experiencing your relationship with God, all the rights and privileges that are yours in Christ. And I just want to share a few things that the Bible says about you if you're in Christ. The Bible says that God works all things together for the good of those who are part of His family. God says that He will complete what He started in you. Jesus tells His followers, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always with you. And if you're not experiencing the privilege of sonship, then I want to encourage you just to spend time reading God's Word and just soaking in all that He's done for you in Christ. And I also want to encourage you just to cry out to God throughout the day. He's always with you. If you're in Christ, He is always with you as your Father. Always willing to hear, always willing to help and complete what He started in you. And you'll experience your adoption more deeply as the gospel penetrates deeper into your heart. And so as we prepare to worship God through song in just a moment, I invite you to either enter the family of God if you've never placed your faith in Christ, or I want to invite you, encourage you to allow the Word of Christ to richly dwell within you, more deeply in you, so that you can more deeply experience your sonship. So as we stand and sing, as we respond to God and what He's done for us, this adoption that He's allowed to come to pass in Christ, I'll meet you at the front. If you'd like to place your faith in Christ, or if you're in need of prayer this morning, or if you'd like to join this church family, I invite you to come as we stand and as we praise God as we sing together.